Welcome, everybody. This is the IMD Founder Series podcast. My name is Ian Charles Stewart. I'm the co-founder of Wired Magazine, and I'm now an executive residence here at IMD, which was my business school where I did my MBA 30-something years ago. This week, I am joined by Skylar Weiss, who's the founder and CEO of the Swiss hybrid bank, Alpian. He's also an IMD MBA, so we have an IMD MBA interviewing an IMD MBA. He was here in 2017. I graduated in 1988, so a little bit ahead of him. We're going to talk a little bit about what he's been doing since the MBA and what Alpian's all about. Our audience for this series is essentially IMD alumni and others interested in what it takes to build new businesses, both the people and processes we have to put in place and the issues and challenges that people face. Now, we tend to focus on, naturally, given my background, companies that are disrupting existing industries and forging new business models, but not necessarily, right? Sometimes it's just interesting because it's a new model without technology. It's not digitally based. But in this case, Alpian's doing both. So it's fun to get him on board, and we're really happy that Skylar was able to take time out of his day, sneak into one of his bespoke studio offices they have down in Geneva to come talk to us. Skylar, welcome back to IMD.
Yeah, thank you. And, you know, I want to thank you for this opportunity to get the chance to have this session with you. It's not every day that you get to speak with and meet with somebody who basically created an industry. Right? And this is something that I consider, you know, I'm very fortunate to have this opportunity. And hopefully with Alpian, we can drive the same kind of change, right? Same kind of progress within a different industry, but also relevant in terms of the progression of the world. So thank you for having me.
Well, thank you. I have to say that one of the reasons we got involved in Wired in the first place was the degree to which the world was changing around us. We were discussing the impact of technology upon all sorts of different things to do with our actual lives. It wasn't a magazine about technology. It was a magazine about how technology was going to change the world. And that's still happening. And we're now at a sort of second or third layer of innovations, which are genuinely changing how we interact with many aspects of our life. And I think you guys are part of that, which is cool. So why don't we start off with just a little bit of background so people understand what your reference points were. What did you do before the MBA in 2017? And how did you go from there to being CEO of a startup bank?
Yeah, so I'm a dual US and Swiss citizen. I was born in the United States, but you know, came to Switzerland in 2017 to pursue my MBA at IMD. I started my career at IBM as a consultant, and then I joined Morgan Stanley in New York as a vice president, or I was promoted to be a vice president. And there, basically, I worked on many different things for the senior management of Morgan Stanley. Did a lot of different crisis management, process improvement, tech work, anything that the senior management needed, I worked on it. And so I got a breadth of knowledge there that I was able to bring into my MBA. And at IMD, you get a huge experience, a huge international experience, which then broadened my horizons and really helped me take the role I have now at Alpian.
Very good. So the IMD course starts in January of each calendar year and then finishes in December. Did you go straight into work? A lot of people take time off before they go on. But you went straight into which bank at the time? Which firm did you go into?
Yeah, so I joined Rail after IMD. And so Rail is the bank. It's a private bank here in Geneva that founded Alpian. So Alpian was founded within Rail, and I was the chief digital officer of Rail. And so the partners of Rail, their initiative was to create a digital bank. And they needed somebody to drive that. And I was lucky enough to join the company at that time, drive the initiative within Rail. And then we've since spun out of Rail, but we now each have our own independent banking licenses.
Right. So that's important because getting a banking license in Switzerland is no small thing. And then just to round out the structural issues, there was another transaction that took place over Rail, right?
So Fideuram Intesa Sanpaolo. So Intesa Sanpaolo is the largest bank in Italy, and they invested into Rail, and now they own a majority of Rail. And during their due diligence of Rail, they found Alpian, right? And they said, this is an amazing initiative. And so in addition to acquiring a majority stake in Rail, they actually invested into Alpian, and we've become a big part of their strategy. And so Intesa Sanpaolo, for those of you who don't know, is one of between the fourth and fifth largest bank in Europe, right? It's a very large company, very large bank, very well-respected bank. And, you know, we have the support of a Swiss private bank, as well as a international global player on the banking market.
Great. And just so that we round out, you are CEO of a startup, but you're a startup where a lot of the weight behind the startup, which I guess gives security to your customers, comes from large banks that exist. But you do have your own separate banking license and you're managed separately?
This is really important, this question, is because, you know, when you're creating a bank, it's not like you're creating another startup. The kind of implications that you have as a bank are not the same as just a tech startup, right? You are managing people's wealth. You're managing people's money. There's a lot of responsibility that comes with that. And so when you start a bank, there are certain requirements that you have to have in place, certain knowledge, certain experience, certain capital. And coming from a bank, it puts you in a much, from existing players, it puts you in a much better position to succeed as a new bank than as if you were to just start by yourself from scratch out of a garage. And so, again, it's not that I don't respect other startups. It's that I think banking, you know, you have to have a different approach than you would with a traditional startup.
Right. And when you and I first talked, we both used the word trust. In the end, you don't give your money to people you don't trust, and that's the core of what's necessary for a new firm. Okay, so why don't we describe Alpion so it's clear what it is and what it isn't. And also, it's quite exciting because you're actually doing a formal public launch. You have customers now, and I know that you run your own banking on your own system. But the formal public launch is very, very soon. So why don't you describe what Alpion is and what it is not?
Yeah, so Alpion is a digital private bank, right? So what does that mean? The way I think about it is most people in the world, right, 99% of people, their only experience is with a retail bank. And very, very few people get the services of a private bank. And today, it has always been derived by how much money you have, right? So if you have enough money, you can go to a private bank. If you don't, then you have to go to a retail bank. And the reason that that is because private banks, they provide a lot of service, a lot of very hands-on, manual, personal service. And it's not cost-effective for them to serve a wide array of people. They can only serve very few people. And in order for the numbers to make sense, they have to serve very wealthy people. Because if they serve, you know, lower wealth segments, they can't make enough money to cover their costs. And so today, private banks exist. They cover the 1%. And most people see retail. And the idea of Alpion is to offer a digital private bank, which brings private banking services to a portion of that affluent segment. When we started Alpion, we said, who do we want to cater to? Who is our target segment? And we're not looking to serve the retail segment, which is where basically how I define retail is you do it yourself, right? You partner with a bank and then they give you tools, but you have to do it yourself. In a private bank, this is where the bank is there to help you, to guide you through the banking process, the wealth generation process, and any other issues that you can expect from a bank. And so basically, Alpion is built to bring private banking services to a broader segment, not to everybody, but to a broader segment of the population.
What's your segment? How are you describing them? What's their wealth level? What's their interest? What type of people are we talking about?
Yeah, again, so we're razor focused. We have interest from all different types of wealth segments. I think our main focus is between 100,000 and 1 million at the moment. But this is something where we've received interest from people of extreme wealth, really extreme wealth. And people who are just looking for help, right? But don't have the wealth. But again, you know, one of the limitations is that with technology, we're able to get around some of the limitations that traditional private banks have in being able to serve people. But still, if you're trying to provide a personal touch, a human touch, which we do, Alpion does that. So yes, we're a digital private bank, but that does not mean personal. And as long as you're driving a personal relationship and a personal touch, you cannot scale to everybody. And so for us, our target segment is the affluent segment.
Switzerland or Europe at the moment?
Switzerland only at the moment. And this is a question I often get because digital banks, they're able to move quickly abroad, right? You don't have a physical infrastructure you have to take with you. But my first priority as a Swiss bank is to make sure that people in Switzerland benefit from the services that we've built. Sounds natural, right? That as a Swiss bank, we cater to the people of Switzerland. And so, for example, like when you speak with Alpion, when you speak with our private bankers or you converse with our team, you can speak in the different languages of Switzerland. And this is super important because we want to make sure that wherever you live in Switzerland, you know, we're there to help you.
And so which branch of Schweizerdeutsch are you using? Did it end up being Balois or Zurich or Bern? They're very different.
Yeah. So again, you know, this is something where there are many different dialects, there are many different, you know, with Swiss German, we have people from different areas of Switzerland. So it's not one dialect. You know, again, if we're trying to cover every dialect, then it may be a bit tricky. But I think, yeah. You know, people will forgive us. I don't think there's any bank that covers all of the dialects. So
no, and the very fact that you are doing Swiss German, Italian, French, and English is already good. So you started offering the service to employees earlier this year. You already had people signed up to go live within the system. What have you found surprisingly difficult, and what have you found surprisingly easy over the last couple of years?
There are two things that I found difficult. People is definitely one of the most tricky topics when you're creating a new company. And I think Alpine was created in COVID, right? So this whole, you know, flexibility, work from home, you know, nobody had done that before. And we basically, as a new company, had to figure out how to do this. And it gave us a lot of benefits, right? In that we could do it however we saw fit. But we needed to, on top of building a bank, we needed to figure out how to actually put in place a functioning kind of work environment that also adheres with the security and requirements of being a secure bank, right? And so that was difficult in terms of the people. I mean, again, people is always difficult. When you start to ramp up your team, you've got individuals, right? And you get more and more individuals, and no two people are alike, right? And this is something we value at Alpine. We want to embrace individual uniqueness of people, not just internally, but of our clients as well. And when you scale up, one of the challenges that I found in particular, I've never managed 85 people before, right? This is the first time I'm doing that. And it continues to grow, you know, is that you have to be able to have a consistent way to do things, but also respect people's individuality, which is not always easy. The second thing that I think is difficult is trust. Right. Trust is the foundation of banking. Right. And a lot of times when you talk to people about Alpine, the response I get is that I've heard that before. And that's what my current bank tells me. And so when you're starting a company, which fundamentally, when clients interact with us, when they use our services, I don't want them to hear the difference. I want them to feel the difference. Right, to actually feel it. But if the perception is that I've heard that before, maybe they don't give the chance to us to actually deliver on the promise of Alpine, right? Where we give this personal, exceptional service. And I think, you know, we'll probably get into it later, but the differences of Alpine are not just on the tech side. It's the fundamental setup of our company that is different.
Right. And what about stuff that was easier than you thought? Or has nothing been easy?
It's not that nothing has been easy. I mean, I think one of the best things that we have done. So I think one of the trickiest things is also one of the best, which is the people, right? Once you bring good people in, it attracts other good people, right? And that was something that I didn't see in the beginning. I thought it was always going to be really hard to continue to bring in good people. But we found that because of the company we are, when you start to create a good company with good people, it proliferates, right? It rolls on itself. And so we've been able to continue to bring on really, really good people. And so it's not easy to keep good people. But when you have a good company created by good people, I've been surprised at the progression on that.
Yeah, getting people on board when you're growing quickly is a challenge when you're a small firm, relatively unknown in the marketplace. But if you do it well, if you hire the first 10, 20 people really, really well, actually a lot takes care of itself thereafter. So I encourage people to spend a little bit more time with the first 10 employees, maybe the first 20. And then you can't control that process any longer. You go so fast that there's no time. You just hope that the values you've instilled or the values that you've searched for in your first 20 employees spill over into the next 20 and the next 20. So I think it's the challenge. People always think that raising money is the problem when you're building something. I've always found that it's people. Raising money is easy if you've got a good project, frankly. And if you're having trouble raising money, then there's probably a problem with either the project or the team, or a problem that's at least perceived by investors that you're not getting across really well. The hard part, once you have the money and good projects always get their money, is the people. Trying to find enough good people fast enough to grow at the speed we want to do. Talking about the trust issue, you've got Intesa and Real behind you, and you started within the firm. So you've got relationships with them, which is great. So you get support from the people who hired you originally. Now you're separate, but you're still backed by the firm. And I know you're doing a fundraise at the moment. So again, capital is not a massive challenge for you. Are you talking much about the relationship between yourselves and the large banks behind you? Are you you focusing more on we're new and interesting, or are you focusing more on we're large and secure? Because it seems to me there's a tension between those two things.
Yeah, it's a difficult balance to walk because, again, it's when you're founded by two organizations, which are, I mean, they're important players in their markets, right? And their names carry weight, but their business model is just fundamentally different. We've been able to benefit from all the experience and all the kind of weight that these two players have brought, but we're different. Right. And I don't think that that's a bad thing, because at the end of the day, you know, Rail could have just said, OK, we build a new digital bank internally within Rail and we don't create a separate bank. But why you create something different? I mean, the partners of Rail made a conscious decision to create a separate company. And the reason was is because it's just a different company. You can't have two companies within one, right? That they will ultimately not be able to function together. And so I think we found a good way forward, which is where, you know, we publicly acknowledge all of the support that we have received from Rail and Fideuram Intesa Sanpaolo, but we are our own company and we need to be able to operate independently because our business model is so different. Right? It's a very close partnership. We work very closely with them, but they understand that we're different and they need to give us that freedom to operate differently.
Now let's talk a little bit about the service that individuals might perceive. You quite rightly said that the business model of the large private banks requires a certain number of amount of capital per individual client to warrant the time that they spend on managing that client, providing the services they provide. And yet you've also said that you're not, at least not at the moment, an AI bank. So you've actually got real people providing the services. It's not just algorithms. How do you balance that out? How are you managing, the studio's help, I know, but how are you managing to provide a level of service that the individuals who become your clients appreciate in a way that doesn't overload your business model and cost you too much? What is it that allows you to deal, to take on the 100,000 to 1 million, whereas most of the private banks have a minimum 5 million target? How is it you're managing to do this and still making it people intensive?
That's the secret sauce of Albion, so I can't reveal it all. But at the end of the day, again, it's a combination of technology and people and the way that we've done things, right? So at the beginning of Albion, I was fortunate to be given kind of a blank sheet of paper to design things in a new way, right? So we've done things totally differently than how the incumbents have done them. You asked me before what we offer, right? So let me give an example. We offer our clients the ability to invest in our discretionary management mandate, which means that we our investment team at Alpian manages the funds of its clients, right? So if a client puts money in, we manage their funds for them. So that's the hallmark of a private bank, right? At a retail bank, you just invest whatever you want, right? But nobody's going to help you. At Alpian, or a robot will help you, right? At Alpian, our investment team, with the assistance of technology, will invest for you. And so we are able to build a personalized portfolio for our clients where no two clients will be invested the same, but at the same time. So the technology helps us build a personal strategy for you, but then our investment team is able to apply its knowledge of the markets and its predictions on the markets to your personalized portfolio. And so what a normal bank would do is they do it all by Excel or all by hand or whatever, and then you end up having to have 20 people doing it by hand, whereas we leverage the technology that we've built custom for this process to allow us to keep not 20 people doing it by hand. We leverage technology for those things, but where we add value is where the market's going. Do we believe that the markets are going up? And if so, in what areas of the market? And this is where the human provides value, not in the things that the algos should take care of.
This may be an unfair question because we're currently in a challenging macro environment, shall we say. If Jeremy Grantham and Ray Dalio would be believed, we're heading for a crash to end all crashes, not 40s or 70s, but actually 30s. And it's very hard. I listen to a lot of investor podcasts and I talk to friends of mine who are in the wealth management space, and very bright people disagree on where we're going from here, partly because it's political, partly because the actual moves likely in the different marketplaces depend upon the ability and strength of individual politicians to hold to a particular strategy. In the current environment, if you have new clients, and you do, you're about to launch publicly, and what are you telling them? What will you tell them? Because I accept that each individual's circumstances are slightly different, but every private bank that I've known also has house views. So yes. Do you have a house view at the moment on what people should be doing?
Yeah, so we do.